Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We were talking about repentance and istighfar. And of course, we are done with these verses. Now, this is a very interesting verse in the Quran. It is in Surah An'am 654. وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And when those who believe in our revelations come into thee, say, peace be unto you, your Lord has prescribed for himself mercy. كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. It means it has made it compulsory upon himself that those who of you do evil and repent afterwards thereof and do right, God is forgiving mercy. Now I want to ask you, what's the meaning of كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ, your Lord has written mercy on himself? And we know that he is not merciful with everyone. Of course, he has anger as well, he has wrath, he has punishment, okay? So why does he say he has made it compulsory upon himself to have mercy? كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Because kitab, you know, is something which is compulsorily written. And in the Quran it is used like that. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. The siyam, the fasting is written on you. It has become compulsory on you. Now, although we see all these punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how does he... Yeah. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسَعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, first of all, and then سَبَقَتْ رَحْمَتُكَ غَضَبُكَ. This is of course in the dua. Yeah.
It's also limited. It relates to only these people.
It relates to mu'minun. So this is that special mercy which goes only to the mu'minun who want it, actually. And for every mu'min he has written upon himself that mercy. And you can see that even the angels ask for mercy. It means that the whole creation is created in a way that they turn towards the people who have faith and want to go and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything will somehow is facilitated for them to make this return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala easier. Now tell me one thing. I want to somehow go about the question in from a different angle. You know that we have in the Quran لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. This is in Surah Teen, isn't it? We have created human beings in the best construction. فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The best construction. It means human construction is even better than angels' construction. Human soul is even above the angels. Human soul. I'm not talking about us now, because we are now a mixture of soul and body. But our soul, before becoming polluted, before becoming somehow taking the dirt of this body and this world and worldly pleasure, in Ahsan al-Taqweem, the best of all creations. And that's why you have your Prophet is the first of all creation, first in degree. It means he, there's no one above him in creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Then it says, Thumma radadnahu asfala safilin. Then we descended him, we turned him into the lowest of the low. Asfala safilin.
Is it return him or turn him? Because return him means he was there before.
No.
No, does it imply he
was there? Rad means to reject and somehow drive away here.
Because not to return.
No. Radadnahu asfala safilin. Raddahu, of course, it has the meaning of return, it has the meaning of rejection as well. Now, this probably is this word. We were in a very, very high position, and then of course we are driven into this asfala safilin, the lowest of the low. Tell me, why God has done this to us? It's not fair. I mean, creating us in that very, very good high position and then sending us down here, and all of us somehow get involved in situations which would maybe most of us, not most of us, many of us, would take us to the eternal punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What has he done? Tell me, yes. Why angels shouldn't be tested?
They don't have a desire.
Well, our souls before coming to this body wouldn't have, I mean, there's no desire for the soul, it's all body. So, it's all bodily desire that takes the soul along with itself. So if we weren't sent down here, then of course there weren't all these things. And of course we would have prospered.
Because of the test that we become higher, then only we are higher than the
angels. If you pass the test.
And then you become lower than the
angels. Yeah. Well, it is true, but still the question remains, why there should be a test? Why angels don't have a test?
And for them there's no punishment in heaven.
Why? I mean, why there's no punishment for them?
Because they are workers, they just will work for
them. Not all of them. I mean, we had the types of angels who were mala'ikatul walihun, who don't know whether Allah created anything at all, so they don't work at all. They just pray. Yes.
Because that highest level of creation can only be reached by a creature with volition who strives to get there, not by someone who Allah puts there.
Good. Yeah, almost, you see, this concept of test and volition and acquisition, they're all very near to each other. Now, let me write the continuation of these verses. What is it? Anyone remember?
إلا
الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. فلهم أجر غير ممنون. This concept of reward and ajr. I mean, ajr is for someone who does some work, but we don't do anything in this world. I mean, we don't do.
That's your condition.
We don't do a work, do we?
So what are
we doing? Well, we are just wasting our time. I mean, what are we doing in this world? No, really, really. Tell me, what work we are doing?
Well, you have to find work, I mean.
We are just idling ourselves around, isn't it?
I don't think people agree with you on that.
Now tell me, I mean, what are you doing this for? Tell me.
I'm sitting in a class listening to you.
Okay, so should you get a reward for it?
I
mean, you should pay for it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should you get a reward for it? Because He has given you... He has given you all these facilities to come and sit, I mean, time, brain, eyes, and all these things, and you want the reward as well. No, really,
it depends on which perspective you look at. I mean, if you want to look at it from the perspective that everything you have is God given and you don't have nothing of your own volition. Yes,
so, what's
right.
Of course. Everything you have is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, why reward? Why reward?
Can we rephrase it? We don't want the punishment.
But here he says rewards, okay? Okay, you don't want the punishment. But here Allah says we give rewards. But what do we do to get rewards? Yes.
This is how you utilize those things that Allah has given you, whether you go towards Allah or you use those against Allah. Yeah, it depends what you use those, you know, what you're given this world for. If you give, whether you
to go towards Allah, it deserves a reward. It, does it? I mean,
it's the reward.
It is the reward. To go towards Allah, it is the reward. But here it says, those who believe and do good, for them is a reward.
Yeah, so doing good is part of it. That's the condition, isn't it?
Those are the mechanics that take you towards Allah. And that is the reward. So today we don't appreciate it or we don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And obviously having good intention, but having fulfilling the action as well, that goes along with that, by virtue of our action. You talked before and you said that good intention is that all that Allah asks for.
Good intention is what, sorry?
It's all that Allah asks for.
Yeah.
You imagine that.
Yeah.
With that comes our action.
Yeah. And we deserve a reward for it.
I mean, listening to your belief, by virtue of your action, it shows you.
Yes. No, I mean this concept of ajr is usual for someone who does something for someone else.
It's obedience.
It's doing something for God.
Yeah, it's doing the obedience, ending up doing good because Allah has set up the Lord in such a way that if you were to be obedient to Him, you would at the end end up doing good things. And if you are obedient to somebody, if you obey somebody, then it is normal that in this world, if you're obedient to somebody, it's always going to reward you for it.
Yes. It's going to reward you.
Yes, because if you're obedient to somebody, then you expect something from the other side as well.
Oh, okay, so you are putting it in a different context. If you are obedient, you deserve rewards.
Yes, because you end up doing the right, you end up doing what is good, because Allah will never make you do something which is taking
but you see, in our case, obedience is doing something for someone, isn't it? I mean, what's the meaning of obedience?
Obedience is if I say sit.
Well, why should I say to someone sit? Because I need it, isn't it? Why should I say, for example, someone go and do something for me? Because, well, that's, and if he's obedient, of course, I will pay.
Or, because I, for instance, if you bringing up your children, you know, they think that you're telling them to do something bad or they don't like it. But you know what is better for them. The reason why you're asking them to do that thing is because they're prepared.
And you reward them.
Exactly.
Out of mercy.
Ultimately, the reward will come in as well.
It's also mercy, isn't it?
Yeah. Because when we grow up, we think, oh, thank God our parents told us to do that.
Yeah.
And because of that, we're reaping these rewards today, which we never realized at that time. So it was the obedience of the parents that eventually led us to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And we are reaping the rewards for it.
Now I tell you, the angels are very much obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very much more than us. But they don't receive any rewards.
But are they not a different form of creation? So
what
we see,
if the argument goes here, it should go there.
No,
I mean,
what I'm saying is if the ajr, what we see as being reward, probably they don't see that as being a reward.
Hmm?
Because we have two different.
They don't have. So the ones who have choice will get the reward. Is this what you are saying? If you have choice, you have the reward. If you don't have choice, you don't have the reward.
You're saying that they are not interested. they don't have desires in jihad. So there's nothing to push them away.
So why have you been put in this desire situation? I mean, in a situation which you have desires. Why?
Maybe Allah loves us so much that He wants us to get the best.
Therefore, you think you're going to Jahannam, huh? You love us that much.
Yeah. I think just what Murtaza said, it's not actually that we're expecting, you know, we're not working, we're doing a good thing and then we're doing it for Allah and we expect the world from Him. Actually, we're doing a good thing for ourselves rather than for Allah, and Allah out of His increased mercy, because in this world, if we do something for ourselves, no one's going to reward us. But in this case, we're doing it for ourselves, we're trying to elevate ourselves. I mean, Allah doesn't need
that. And that ajr comes.
So exactly, the ajr comes for doing it for ourselves as well.
In one of your lectures somewhere, I don't remember if it was a hadith or it was a quotation from a maraja, but you were saying that this person said that most of the time when we go hajjat, when we ask for things, we're wasting our time. Because if you understood, the only true thing that's worth asking Allah for is Himself. Nothing else is worth asking. That is the reward.
Yeah. Now, let me give an example. Okay. Suppose in this room, there is not another class, but there is £2 billion lying there, okay? And I tell you that I give you an opportunity to go and collect it, if you can, okay? But there's a danger as well. There's a 20% chance that it gets hurt when you enter that room because there is, for example, a very dangerous dog. Then you say, well, I'll go and take it anyhow. I don't care about some injury. Now, I said, ladies cannot go and try. Only men. Is that fair? No, you want to try. You want to try as well.
But it's not haram, right? It's not haram, right?
Well, good. I tell you, the angels don't have this opportunity to come to this world and take the benefit. We have. This world, there is an opportunity in this world. Now, we are favored. We are favored with the opportunity to come and reach it and take it. The angels are not. Why? I don't know. Now, you tell me, who's better off, human beings or angels?
Angels. Depends on how you look at it.
No, the lady said they wanted to go and try.
Depends on the odds. You said 20%.
Angels.
Angels.
But you
see, everyone here said it's not fair if they go to go and try. They should be given the chance. Now you say that, no, I mean, those who don't go and try are better off.
No, but maybe we should tell them that the reason why you're not letting them try is because you've given them everything, and they don't need to try. Yeah. They are living comfortably, so they don't need to go for that 2 million.
Everyone is the same, okay? Yeah. Everyone is living comfortably, but there is a chance of having 2 billion as well.
But if they have desires,
you go for it, isn't it?
If they have desires, then they'll go for it. But if they don't have desires, then they will not go for it.
No question of desire or anything. You see, the angels are not given this opportunity to have desires. We are given. But there is an ask for that. There's £2 billion lying there. Okay? You want to go and try it? Yeah, you have to go to Asfal-e-Safarin and take it. Suppose this is Asfal-e-Safarin, okay? And this is the Ahsan al-Taqweem. You are created here. Very nice. But you want that 2 billion, go to Asfal-e-Safarin and bring it up. But I'm sure everyone will go. Okay. This is the opportunity Allah has given, actually. This is the statement of a very, very important fact, that human soul is higher than angels, but still it can develop to something much, much, much higher that no one can know, provided it comes to us from the suffering and goes back. This is the provision. Prophet's soul, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created any soul more dignified and more respected and more powerful, whatever, than Prophet's soul. But he could never reach those stations that he reached without coming to us for the gospel. It would have been like an angel at the end. But he was given the opportunity to come to Asfal al-Safirin and go back and take the reward. You see, this Allah, it doesn't mean that we didn't sense mu'minun. Okay, this is, they say this is istisna' munqati'. It means the meaning of it is not related to that. It means in this process of coming to Asfal al-Safirin and going back, there is an unceasing ajr which never ends. Never ends. That's why we never end going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after we go to Jannah, inshallah.
So, what is that time now, when you went to Miraj, it reached to the Punta, even Jibreel was on board, so is that the reason?
Yeah, that's it, because Prophet had come here and went back. And, of course, Jibreel was not given that opportunity. What? I mean, this is how Allah creates. There should be different things. But we are better off than angels. Now, Surah Bayyinah,
Provided,
of course. Now, in Surah Bayyinah, it says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Now, this is the interesting thing. This is the very dangerous part of learning that. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Those who believe and do good, they are best creatures. Khayrul Bariyah means best, better than angels, better than angels. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. They are the worst creatures. Worse than shaitan, even worse than, say, animals. So, there's a very great flexibility in the human soul, becoming khayrul bariyya and sharrul bariyya. And this is because he is created in ahsan al-taqweem, best of all constructions, and then he is sent here to Asfal al-Safirin, and then he could get the reward. The angels couldn't get this reward. This reward is because you come down and you go up. Yes, anyone? Yes?
Yes. It is one of the great fantastic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of us with different characteristics, with different personalities, and different abilities. Mm-hmm. He knows the way He created us. So,
yeah.
In a way, He knows whether we're going to pass the test or fail the test.
Don't ask about knowledge. Because knowledge, Allah's knowledge, is eternal and primordial.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the sense that He knows everything in the past and in the future, because everything is present for Him. There is no past and future for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is present for Him. So you can't say if He knows or if He knew. There is no knows or knew. Everything is His knowledge. In fact, everything emanates from His knowledge. In fact, before we come, it was in His knowledge and then it emanated. So how He has put all these things together, this is something that our mind cannot work out. It's very complicated.
Does it mean that it's coming
because of angels? Mm-hmm. Well, not an insult, but well, we might accept anyhow. Well, of course, angels are very dignified creatures, but this ajr comes only to human beings. It doesn't go to angels. This ajr comes to human beings. Now, let's see. Yeah.
But if you were one of those people who were khair, sharul bariyah, then you might want to be an angel, because you have taken that lead, then you're still better off there.
If you are one of those sharul bariyah, you want to be just dust, not angel.
But if they...
وَيَغُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. The kafir on the day of judgment said, if I just was dust. Okay. Hmm? But the point is, of course, you see, if you go in that room and you get killed by that dog, you say, if I just was not given that opportunity. But still, if you come back and I tell you, you have another chance to go, you would go. Because the thing which that state is very, very hard. So, here we, it is actually very dangerous, but very rewarding. And that's why the reward would somehow compensate for the danger. Now, let's...
Sorry,
yeah.
it's been written already. I mean, Allah knows how you're going to do. He knows if you're going to have, you know.
What do you mean by this knows if? I mean, there's not you cannot say knows if you are passing or not. Actually, He creates all these things at once. So, it's not something that, it's not like that something is going to happen in future and Allah knows about it. Everything is present for Allah. Everything is present time. Okay? Take it like this. It's nothing that would happen in the future. Now, this is of course, if you want to go and explain about this, I think it will take us 2 hours. So, let's leave this for some time.
When?
Inshallah, in future. Well, Alhamdulillah, we have future. Allah doesn't have any future. We have a joke in Iran. Usually we make jokes about people of the north. Slash, where I'm born, actually. And they say that it was told to one of them, do you want to be king? He said, no. That's the worst job. They said, what? He said, because there's no promotion. Why should I want to be king? For us, Alhamdulillah, there is future. For Allah, there's no future. There's no path for us, and all these things come. Now, your soul, is from light. This is your soul from light. It's complete light. Complete light. It is, you know, angels are created of light, isn't it? And light is, what we mean by light, not this light that comes the ray of the sun. It means that being very near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which, for which there is no darkness, there is no pollution, there is no ignorance. This is the meaning of light. Now, you have come and you are mixed with the darkness. Okay, you are mixed with the darkness. And this is your body. This is this world. Darkness of this world. You are mixed with this world. Why your light has come here? Because, as you say, there is a test. Because it's very rewarding. Because it promotes you. This type of interaction of this light and darkness would promote this light to a very, very high position. Okay. Now, Shaitan, what Shaitan wants to do? It wants to absorb this light into this darkness. Complete. Wants you not to have this light, to lose it. And what Allah wants to do, wants to make this darkness light for you as well. Or, so to speak, bring you out of this darkness to light. He wants to make the whole, even the light here, He wants to make it light for you. Okay. Now, if you go to the Quran, you will see many verses. Allah says, there are some people to whom there is light in this world. يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. He would give a light to you that you could walk with it among people, yes?
Isn't it what
Yeah, exactly. اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. This is what actually is the type of quarrel going on in this world between light and darkness, light and darkness. Now, what Allah has created us for what? To reward us, isn't it? Not, He hasn't sent us down here to somehow put us in oblivion and forget about us or put us in trouble. He wants this life to promote us. Therefore, He has written upon Himself that whoever wants to come out of this darkness, He will help. And this is the rahmah, the mercy, that special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what this verse is actually saying. وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهَا الرَّحْمَةِ Your Lord has written mercy upon you. So whoever is absorbed to this darkness, مَنْ عَمِلَ سُوءٌ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ And then he wants to go out again. No matter how many times, 1 billion times you are absorbed to this darkness, but you want to go back again. Since the system of creation is in a way that Allah wants to take you out of this darkness, He would have that mercy anyhow, and He would accept. And this is the whole idea of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is repent? You want, again, you come to this darkness, you see the darkness, you are very, somehow, depressed about it, you want to go back. As soon as you want to go back, that system of mercy comes and works with you. Works in your heart. He wants to take you out. So, no matter how many times you are absorbed to this darkness, as soon as you come to your mind, your faith appears in front of you and you want to go out, that mercy is there. And this is the whole idea of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to speak.
But
so,
it's like we're going up and down, we're not leaping off, you know? We
pause
and again
we
pause and again
we
try to go up and again we pause.
Now we're
not reaching
up. You are not reaching up. Well, of course, this darkness after the death would go away for mu'min. And this light after the death would go away for kafir. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تَرَى الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهُ وُجُوهُهُمْ مُسْوَدَّةً You would see on the Day of Judgment that the faces of those who lie against Allah, their faces are dark. This is not darkness of, for example, blackness. Black people are blacker. But it doesn't mean that because they were bad, they are black. No. That darkness is this darkness, which is carried to there with them, which is taken to the other world. كَأَنَّمَا أُغْشِيَتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ قِطَعًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مُظْلِمًا You would see them as if some parts of very dark night had covered their faces. This is this darkness of this world, which they take with them. And the light would go away. Now, mu'minun, what do we have about mu'minun having light? In many surahs. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ You will see on that day, mu'minun, their light goes ahead of them. In fact, enlightens the way. And they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what they say, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَحْمِنْ لَنَا نُورًا Complete our light for us. You see, we have come to darkness, we have taken some of this darkness with us, now our souls are promoting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on that day we want this to be completely light. So they say, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَحْمِنْ لَنَا نُورًا Make completely light. وَأَخْفَرْ لَنَا Well, on the Day of Judgment. I haven't seen any verse mentioning any dua asking something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. But on the Day of Judgment there is dua. And this is the mu'minun, they say وَأَخْفَرْ لَنَا Forgive us. Now, what's the meaning of forgiving on the Day of Judgment? Of course, it's just taking this, what it has explained itself. أَسْمَمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَأَخْفَرْ لَنَا If you forgive us, then this nur will become the complete. And you come back to me in a completely rewarding situation. And then, of course, you are much higher than angels. You have come, taken the 2 billion, and come out, and now you are the head, and you are the boss, and you are all following you because you have money.
Okay? Yeah, that brings obligatory on somebody's danger. That's not teacher, that's not. And I said, Yaqulun alaykum salam. This is a recommendation that when you see a believer greeting him.
Now, this is to the prophets.
Yeah.
When the mu'minun comes.
The prophet to say salam to the mu'minin, right?
Well, salam alaykum means there's no harm on you.
Oh. Okay.
Because when they come with a repentant heart, well, this is about mu'minun coming with a repentant heart.
To the prophet.
To the prophet. Prophet telling them, Salaam alaikum, there is no harm on you because your Lord has written rahmah on himself. So these mu'minun are those man amila minkum su'an bi jahala, those who ignorantly do something wrong, and then they want to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think if we take this idea of repentance, then it's clear, no matter how many times you make mistakes, if we sincerely want to go out of that situation, Allah would accept. It is not possible that He would reject, because this is against His whole system of creation.
But sincerely is the key word.
Sincerely, of course. I mean, Allah is not deceived by what we say. He looks into the heart.
But that is the difficult way. It's very easy to say sincerely, but it's very difficult to say how sincerely because the next moment you sin, then you sincere.
But the next moment you sin, but again you become tired of sinning and you want to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again He would forgive. I mean, there's no end to this process of forgiving and forgiving and forgiving until you become tired of repenting. See, Allah doesn't become tired of accepting. Human beings themselves become tired of repenting. In what sense? Because then they are so much encompassed by that darkness that they don't see that they are in darkness. They don't want to go out. I mean, like many of these people in this world, they don't see that they are in darkness. They think this is the best type of life that they have, and they don't want to go. So they are tired of repenting, in a sense. They don't want to repent. Otherwise, if they want, Allah is ready to accept. There is no stop for that process.
You keep saying these people, but maybe it could apply to us. How do you know that it's only applying to these
people? No, by these people, I mean the people around us.
Yes, but why would you not say that it could apply to us?
Well, God forbid.
No, but conceptually, that is not possible?
It's possible.
Of course it is possible. I mean, what do you mean it's not possible?
I'm just asking you.
Yeah, of course it is possible. But you are a Mu'min, aren't you?
But how do you know that?
How do I know that? Because you pray.
No, but
that is,
everybody prays.
You think you work for
it? No. not everybody pray. You know that not everybody pray.
Yeah, but how you pray is better. Praying could be, it is okay. The hadith that says praying is like sitting and standing and doing nothing as exercise if it's not sincere, for example. There's not some related that.
Mm-hmm.
So just outwardly, somebody.
Now tell me, why do you pray?
That's the way I'm brought up, for example. I was told that this is important.
No, I mean, there are many people brought up like this, they don't pray.
Just on this point, I don't know if it's a stupid question or not, but most of them. No. Is it possible that you think that your prayers have been accepted,
yeah,
but they may not have been,
yeah,
and you think that your prayers are not being accepted, except when God accepts them, so He might be accepting it. Is that possible? Or does it?
Of course, generally, every sincere heart is accepted by Allah. Of course, there is a process of purification, purging the heart, all these things are. So you might repent now, but you might see the result in 10 years' time, okay? Because the sin has been so great that the process of purification will take long. But the moment you repent, Allah would accept, and He puts you through that process, okay? Providing you not abort it in the middle, okay? When you go through that process, and if you are sincere, then that sin would turn into what? Into hasana, isn't it? أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Those people, Allah would change their sins into good deeds, isn't it? It changes it. So, the only thing is sincerity. Yes.
In this example, just as an example, you say that when a person goes to Hajj, if he dies halfway before he gets there, his Hajj is accepted anyway.
Yeah.
What about a person who turns and then Allah accepts him and then puts him through this process, which may take 10 years?
Yeah.
But after 2 years he dies.
Yeah.
Will Allah consider that he didn't make it, but it doesn't matter? What happens?
Yeah, what happens is that if he had a chance, suppose he repents here,
yeah,
and if he had a chance, he could reach there,
yeah,
and, if we take this line as people going down to Jahannam, people going up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his process was accorded here, and he starts going up from here. But if he had a chance, he would have got here to go up. Okay? So he would have been somehow ahead of his station on the hereafter. But still he goes up. Still he goes up, but he's very much like, and this station might have much, lots of difficulties for him. He might have lots of tribulations here. But if he had reached here, he would have passed all of them. This is how it works, actually. Now, let's come to your question. Why do you pray? Tell me. It's not the way you are brought up. It's because, well, many people are brought up like us and they don't pray. Why do you pray?
I think worldly,
because hereafter is too far away for us to conceptualize.
So your conscious bites you that, oh my God, I need to pray to
you. That means you do have your faith, right?
So this is it. You pray out of faith.
Yeah. But hold it. Wait. Okay, fine. But when I say Allahu Akbar, my mind is somewhere else till I'm finished. So okay, I'm praying, but I'm not praying.
Yeah. Okay, you will not be a saint, but still you are a moment.
No, I don't
have
to say that. Only God can say that.
Well,
I don't
accept that. I'm happy with it, right? You don't have to say that. It works for me.
Yeah. Okay, this is very interesting. قال أبو جعفر عليه السلام التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. Whoever repents from sin is like the one who has not committed sin. It means the sin is completely washed away. Answer of which question?
That I was trying to tell you. The second part is what I was trying to tell
you. Oh, of course. وَالْمُغِيمُ عَلَى الذَّنْبِ وَهُوَ مُسْتَخْرٌ مِنْهِ كَالْمُسْتَخْرٍ. So
if you're in that state, then what happens? This is my question. How can you say I'm a moment then? Because I know I'm continuing sinning.
No.
That is the thief.
You aren't sinning. You are not.
What if you continue sinning and you say astaghfirullah, this is just ridiculing yourself.
I know, but this is what happens. You try and then you do the same sin, for example. There are many things that we have 8 grace and you keep on doing it. You think a week or 2 weeks and you end up a week later and you're basically in a sense.
I think you've got a point there that, you know, after namaz we have this three astaghfirullah and you are
then
doing everything. You know, every after every namaz we do it.
Yeah.
We come out, we sin, we go back, next namaz we do it,
no,
we come back.
Repentance is different than ceremony.
Yes, exactly.
It's not just saying astaghfirullah. No, that's not repentance. Repentance is when your heart feels that you want to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is when you really, really ask Him to forgive you. And this is how repentance works. I mean, as I said, Allah is not deceived by words or nice language or something like that. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ غَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Some people who speak very nicely in this world. Of course, you might be deceived, the Prophet, but Allah is not going to be deceived. Nice words, not something that would ever ensure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the point of this hadith is that, of course, if you really repent, there's no sin on you anymore. It's all washed out. And even in some verses we have أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيَّاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. In some cases Allah would change those things into حَسَنَةٍ. So you will see, for example, you have done such and such a sin and you go on the Day of Judgment, a reward is there for you. How come? For that sin. Because you have really, really tested the filthiness of that sin, and you really want to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how you get the reward for what you have done. Inshallah.
What is the exact translation of the word hasana?
Hasana is goodness, well, exactly, but it's a favor coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here.
Okay, so my final question before you let it go. If you find yourself in the second situation, then what do you do?
Then you have to repent from your repentance.
Okay.
And this repentance is a sin. this type of repentance is a sin, because you are ridiculing Allah and yourself. I mean, you continue sinning.
Yes.
I mean, for example, you are hitting someone and say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah.
This is not going to work. But that is the reality of the situation for some people.
This is the reality, of course. They are the most sinful people. They are not repenting, just ridiculing themselves. Oh, the hadith is very clear. They are just ridiculing themselves. So, what do you want to?
What are you insisting on? What I'm trying to say is, okay, fine. You really do feel that you want to turn towards Allah, right? And you repent, and then you refrain from sin. But you find that you commit the sin again.
Then
you repent, and you commit the same sin again.
That's different.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No, that's different. You see. This is when you are still, you do not have any resolve to repent. You know that tomorrow, for example, you want to go and commit the same sin again, but you say, Astaghfirullah. Now, this is different from when you really, really, from the bottom of your heart, you repent and say, Astaghfirullah. But 2 weeks later, something happens, and you slip again. Okay? So you have really repented, but you have slipped again. So you have to start all the process again.
Sheikh Mahmoud, it's all relative. You know, what you are describing in the first and second case is a matter of semantics.
Is it?
Yes. As far as I can see. You are saying to the first person, okay, whether it's 2 weeks or the next day, it doesn't matter, it's relative in time. But you find that if you have ended in the same place as you were before, then
you see, if for example,
you make it out your tawbah, then what do you do?
If your son, say for example, has done something wrong, and he promises you that he is not going to do it again, and you know that he's sincere, okay, but 2 weeks time something happens and he does it again, he comes back and says, well, I made a mistake again, I want to repent again, and you know that he's sincere. Is this similar to the situation when your son, you know that he's lying. He says, I don't do it again, and you know that he's in his mind, he has in his mind that he wants to go and do it again. Are these two situations equal? Certainly they are not equal. I mean, that's completely different.
Don't you think it is, I mean, whatever you've done is relative to what your intention is. If the intention was
what I'm trying to say is, yes, the intention is good, but how do you end up doing the same sin again and again and again? It seems like never ending. That is my question. You find some situations like this, then what do you do? Is there something so bad that there is no way that you're going to get out of that sin?
But did he not say that Allah, however many times you go to the after, you come back to life?
But if at the last point I'm not in repentance, I'm in the process just before I die, I'm in that stage where I'm sinning,
so
then what happens?
In this, you've explained it, I think, recently, but in the sense that this person, this child, this keeps sinning again, why, when Allah, when he's sincere and he asks Allah for forgiveness, Allah doesn't help him overcome, so he doesn't sin again?
Yeah.
Obviously, he's sinning because his will is weak in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
But why doesn't Allah then help him find a solution?
Well, Allah helps right from the beginning, but you see, the help is a process. If you continue instead of 2 weeks, 1 month, okay, with that repentance, instead of 2 weeks, if you continue 1 month, then the chances that he fall into the same trap again is much less. For example, you might commit it again 2 months later, not 2 weeks. If you continue with it 1 year, the chances that you commit it again is almost nil. It goes away. This is the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as I said, it's a process. It's not the thing that as soon as you want to do something, Allah should help you. He will help you, but it is like a process that comes. It takes time. Yeah.
But also, I mean, would that not contradict the, you know, your previous first verse of the Quran that you gave earlier, that if Allah did help you straight away, there would be no, you know, it wouldn't be out of your own free will, so the actual, you wouldn't get the reward of actually doing it yourself, actually striving in that path, so actually the reward would be less if Allah just decided, okay, fine, you
won't do it. This is what I'm saying, it's just like that as soon as you want to do it, well, Allah would put a barrier between you and that's it. No. If he sees that you really want to refrain, and you really start, and it goes on for a while, then those protections will come. Protection of Allah will come. Because he wants to protect his servants from sin in a way that it does not contradict their free will. So this is how it happens. Now, this hadith actually, in fact, explains that verse. He says, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. He has written mercy on him. And because he has sent human beings into this asphalt of suffering, okay, you know that battlefield is not a good place to send your children. They might get killed. But for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you send them. Because you know the reward is great. Okay? But all the time you keep praying that he comes back. He comes back. And when he comes back, you get so happy that no one can describe. Now, Allah sends us here to this asfal safalin. And all the time he crosses his finger that they come back. They let them come back. I hope they come back. Okay? Now, this is what the hadith means. إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ مِنْ رَجُلٍ أَذَلَّ رَاحِلَتَهُ وَزَادَهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ ظُلُمَاتٍ. The happiness of God Almighty from seeing a sinner repenting is much more than the joy of a lone traveler who finds his missing animal together with the provisions of journey in a dark night. Well, if someone is traveling alone and a donkey or a mule with him, all his provisions on that donkey or mule, and at the middle of the night he loses that mule or donkey. Well, how miserable that person, well, certainly would die in old days when they traveled by foot or certainly they would die.
You said Allah can help you, said, what is that?
Now, this is our language. He now talks our language.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Now, then suddenly you imagine next day, near the noon when he died, he see, for example, the mule or the donkey just walking by itself around looking for him. How happy he would become. Said Allah would become more happy if a person repents than that person which has lost.
I find that when you repent and you are like in ignorance, it's like not sincere, but like after you have got ill and then you repent, it's not sincere, so now you go somehow and then you understand.
Yeah, that's right. But of course, since all of us have the chance to sin, those who never sin are much better off. Those who never sin. Since the chance is there for everyone, those who test it and then they somehow get disgusted about it, they are very good. But those who never test it are much better. Yeah, with ignorance. Of course, they get to a higher understanding of this world, of human nature, of the soul, yes.
If you sin and you repent, because somebody who's never sinned is because somebody who repented, is it the same, right? Does your slate get wiped off or clean completely, or the track is still there? Or because you have committed, although you've been forgiven or you've been clean, the track is still there.
After that process, the track would go.
So you are basically the two, there's no difference between the two.
No, there is a difference. There is a difference. In fact, the lights have different brilliance. The one who never sinned, his light has much, much higher brilliance than the one who sinned. Although his light, pure light, but the brilliance is different.
The one who never sinned, the circumstances are not equal. For example, Hassan alayhissalam would not be Hassan if his father wasn't Ali and his mother was a Fatima. And anybody else could never reach that because he had that source and that environment and that background which we can never have. So by the time we get to the stage where we learn to realize these things, it's too late because 30 years of your life has passed. Then you realize that marifa which he had just by being in the presence of his father and mother. So how can it even begin to become equal?
No,
one who never sins is masum. There's nobody else.
But you see, for example, Imam Musa's brother,
Harun.
Abdullah al-Aftah, he was a sinner. Imam Hadi's brother was a sinner, Ja'far al-Kadhdhab. So you can't say that since they are in those families, they are completely immune. It's just their own personality. Prophet never mentioned other daughters. But he always mentioned Fatima. I know there is a sensitivity about other daughters of Prophet around, but we cannot deny that Prophet had other daughters. And those other daughters were never mentioned anywhere by the Prophet because they were not at the stage of Fatima, peace be on her, who could be mentioned all the time by the Prophet. So it's personality as well as, of course, family is good. But you would see many good people coming out of many bad, very bad families. Now, let me ask you a question. You know, the donkey. What do they call sound of a donkey in English?
Gray.
Yeah. Gray. Yeah. Gray. Now, what type of salat? You know, things which would get, which would make salat to be nullified, and you have to break it in the middle. Well, there are certain people. For example, if you gaffle in the middle of the salat, or you call it nullah. What type of salat is it that would become nullified, batal, with the prey of a donkey? You are doing, you are performing your salat, a donkey brays, and you have to break your salat. What type of salat is it? Since we are talking about this, people going with donkeys around. Now, suppose this man is praying, okay, this man who has lost his donkey or mule, and suddenly he hears the bray of the donkey, and he's praying, and he has to break his prayer.
Salat is accepted, no need to continue.
No, what?
This dua is accepted.
No, salat is not dua. Salat is, so you are doing salat of dua, for example.
Why would he break
it? He should
break
it.
Is there
always
going
to be a donkey? If the donkey breaks. Not this man. I mean, there is a situation which even this man who has lost and hears the bray of the donkey should break the salat.
Does that mean that every, I mean, are you trying to say that if he was reciting that salat every time in the donkey break, he has to break salat? That's why it doesn't work after the cryptic.
No. There are situations,
yeah,
in which when you are praying and a donkey breaks, you have to break your salah. What is that situation?
An earthquake.
You mean what has donkey's break to do with earthquake?
Might be an earthquake, you have better run for your life.
Well, that is possible. I mean, if the kettle, for example, whistles, it might.
Have you heard the donkey's way?
No. This is for real, I'm not joking. I mean, you have to break your salat sometimes.
Is he when it's a distress?
Who, the donkey or the man?
Needs your help.
The donkey needs our help.
Yeah, so go and help him.
How do you know it needs help to break your salat?
The intensity of the
brain. The quality of the
brain. You cannot imagine any situation that you have to break your salat when the donkey breaks. Now, suppose this man.
I've never seen a donkey.
Okay, not a donkey. Say, if you hear the horn, the sound of the horn of your car, you have to break your salat.
Someone's stealing it.
Hmm?
Someone's stealing it.
Now, suppose this man, okay, he has lost his donkey and all his provisions, food, water, everything. Now it's now salat time, he makes tayammum and he starts praying. And suddenly the donkey breaks, the water comes. Isn't it? The water comes. He had made tayammum, okay, because there was no water. Now in the middle of the salat, the donkey comes, the water comes. He has to place the salat and make wudu, isn't it? There was a trick in it.
What about the car horn?
Well, the same thing.
The
same thing.
This is the kind of question they're asking that darsha to see if your mind is free.
In where?
The darsha.
Okay. Now, the physical parts of this concept of istighfar. The Prophet says, إِنَّهُ لَيُغَانُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ حَتَّى أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَاللَّيْلَ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. Sometimes it happens that the darkness approaches my heart. Now, yu'anu means a tuft of dust comes in my heart. And because of this reason, I offer repentance 70 times every day. This is in Mahajjatul Bayda. Now, from Imam Ja'far al-Sadr alayhi salam. Why should prophets do istighfar? As we know they do. In the Quran, we have lots of occasions that prophets like Sulaiman, like Dawood, have made istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that they do not sin. We know our prophets never sin. But he says, I do istighfar 70 times to take that of somehow dust and darkness from my heart.
Is this due to sort of thinking? Is that this second way you just attempted this and then sort of rejected? Is that what you're talking about?
Thinking of the sin coming.
Yes, like the desire and then you sort of block it.
I don't think this will happen for the Prophet.
Yeah, so it's not even that.
No. I don't think this would even happen for the Prophet. Yes. Okay, but did they do anything wrong? They didn't do anything wrong to istighfar for us. But, and we know, you see, when you go to the du'as of A'imma, especially Imam Sajjad, you see all truth is istighfar. It's asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Yes.
You mentioned this in one of your lectures.
Okay. Yeah, go.
What you said then was that there's one thing that Allah has not protected them from, and that is arrogance. They are able to become arrogant, and so they seek Allah's protection never to become arrogant.
Yes. So, in fact, seeking forgiveness is to somehow
humble themselves
and humility.
To make themselves even more humble so they can never, because imagine a person like Rasulullah who has everything that any human being could ever want in terms of nearness to Allah. He could slip into arrogance if he was not humble. So he has to make himself even more humble. Never ever, even for the chance to ever, because he knows that that protection is Allah has not given him, he has to do it himself.
Yes. Yes, this is one reason. But they can protect that arrogance through other things as well. Through tasbih, through hamd. And the Prophet here said, actually, I do this not because of the protection, because really my heart gets tinted and I have to wash it and I do it with istighfar. And this shows istighfar actually makes the heart fresh. If the heart is dead, if the heart is somehow hard, istighfar makes it fresh, alive. Yes.
Well, I was just thinking that also it's, you know, in terms of, for us, we repent for doing something wrong, against doing something right. For them, there was such a level, that there's actually degrees of goodness, that if they didn't attain what, you know, due to their position, they didn't fulfill that goodness, they, you know, maybe it went halfway, you know, they were trying to, for them, that was actually wrong, even though it wasn't a sin as such.
So not actually attaining the higher level is a sin for them. Well, they see it as a sin for them.
Exactly. For them, I mean, not, you know, if we look at it, it's still good.
The other prophet, the
Prophet,
actually did
a big Well, not even have to Allah probably. The point is, some of these stories are not very reliable. About, for example, Yusuf spoke about himself like that, or Musa spoke about himself like that.
The Quran says that Musa spoke, there's
no knowledge about him. No, this is not in the Quran. This is a story actually made up by the Jews.
So how come we don't go and meet him?
Well, many possibilities. Maybe it was before his prophecy. Maybe he wanted to seek knowledge from someone before he became a prophet. So there are lots of possibilities. You know, the Jews specifically are very much against Musa, and in favor of Harun, his brother. So they have made up many stories against Musa. Many stories which are very, very humiliating stories about Musa. And then they have penetrated our Ahadith as well through Abu Hurairah, through Israeliyat. And the point is, why the Jews are very much in favor of Harun, because they say he's our past history, because he made us to worship the cow, the cow or whatever, the ajl. So, you know, in the Bible it is said that Harun actually made the ajl for them and told them, come and worship. We say it was Samari, not Harun, and Harun wanted to prevent it. So, we have to be very careful about such stories which we hear about prophets. Although, in the Quran, Istighfar of Sulaiman is mentioned, Istighfar of Dawood is mentioned.
In this case, maybe the darkness that approaches his heart is not of his own making, but of the environment that he finds himself in. For example, if he sat around with people like us, some of the dust from our pollution would settle on him.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
This is actually what Prophet himself said, because his companion, whenever he sat with his companion and spoke, afterwards he started to do istighfar. And they said, it is a sin for you to ask that after you talk to us to do istighfar. And he said, no, my heart gets a bit rushing. And you know, of course, we don't realize that we have a heart. Prophet realized that he had a heart, and that was a mirror in which Allah's image was reflected. And that's how he could see God and he could worship God. So, if that mirror became a bit dusty, he should have cleaned it. And even, say for example, he was consulting with his companions about something, about the jihad or something, still his heart was a bit away from that complete brilliance that would have showed, reflected Allah's image. And therefore, he made istighfar to clean it.
What is the istighfar he did 70 times? Did he just recite something 70 times? And if you do that 70 times, is enough for him?
70 times, you know, 70 times is a limit that Allah has put for us. That if you do 70 times, it's too much. It's many istighfar, okay? Because, I mean, otherwise we should have gone and done istighfar all the time. He said, do it 70 times. On Laylatul Jummah or mornings of Jummah or every morning, 70 times you do it, I accept it as a continuous istighfar for me.
But then why sometimes 100 times? Like Astaghfirullah 70 times, Allah for 100 times, why? Why not 70?
Well, I don't know. 70 is something which is mentioned in the Quran. أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفَرُ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. Even if you do istighfar 70 times for them, Allah is not going to forgive them. It means 70 times is a limit which Allah would accept forgiveness, would accept istighfar, and tells his prophet that even if you do 70 times istighfar for the munafiqun, I'm not going to accept. So 100 times, well, if there is something else in 100 as well, I don't know, that's not mentioned in the Quran. This 70 is mentioned in the Quran. Now there's one other thing which makes this istighfar somehow plausible. And that is in terms of knowledge. You see, you have a conception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by which you worship Him, you obey Him, you do things, and you think that it is satisfactory. Because you know God in the way you know Him, and He's satisfied with you. Okay? Now sometimes you go around and ask some sinners that, why did you commit sin, for example? They say, well, the God that we know wouldn't object to these things. Okay, that's the God that they know. Now, then you come a bit higher in faith, you come to know God better, and we know that we have to refrain from sin. And the God that we know actually moderates our actions. Now, have you ever improved your conception of God during the past 10 years? You have, haven't you? The God that you knew 10 years ago is much different from the God that you know now. Our knowledge about God increases. And now, when we look back in what we have done, say for example, in that stage which we thought we know God, and we knew God in that way, now when we think we say, well, I was very rude and impolite. It was not somehow good to behave like that, to call God like that. You see, when our knowledge is limited, we complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when we want something, we say, okay, you have to give it to me, otherwise I'll do something else. For example, our teacher was telling us a story. He said that in that area they live, there was someone who wanted something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very insistently. For several weeks he was asking. And one night he went to the mosque, in front of the alim of the mosque. He said, God, either you give me what I want from you tonight, or I will go to cinema. Because cinema was very bad at that time, going to cinema.
Is it better than that?
Today is okay, right?
Today it's okay. Now, in the sense that it has become part of culture. At those times, especially the film which was shown, was horrible in Iran. Now in Iran, of course, it's different. Now he says, if you don't give me what I want, I'll go to cinema. And he says, well, interestingly enough, he was given what he wanted that night. But this was how we actually communicated. Yeah, but it is rude to say such a thing to Allah, isn't it? I mean, you would never say such a thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, you know, this is not right.
But he didn't think it was rude.
Exactly, he didn't think it was rude, okay? He didn't think it was rude, and his conception of God was limited to that type of understanding. Now, if now he reflects on that situation after 20 years, he will say, Astaghfirullah, what I did. Why did I say that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That was very rude, although he was very kind, okay? But that was very rude. Now, he does Astaghfar because his knowledge has increased, okay? Now, we do Astaghfar for things we have done, and we thought that they were good things we were doing in past, for example, 20 years. Now, when we think about them, that was terrible. How did I do such a thing as a worship, say, for example, or as something that I thought God would like? Now, you know, the prophets and Aimma, they constantly increase knowledge. We have lots of ahadith in common that Aimma say, for example, every night of Jummah, our knowledge increases and expands. And in fact, every day, but every Jummah and every week, our knowledge expands. Now, if that knowledge expands, of course, I'm not comparing them with us. But anyhow, when that knowledge expands, and they look at how they worship God, the last Jummah, now this Jummah they are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they look back how they worship the last Jummah, not what they said, because they don't say anything which is rude or impolite or something, how they felt in their hearts about God. And now the knowledge has been humbled. And now they have become more humble because knowledge brings you humbleness and humiliation. And now they feel that whatever they said, whatever they did, it was not deserving. It was not befitting actually for them to say such a thing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why they constantly do astaghfar. And you would see that, for example, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa
he would say that, for example, every time I do istighfar, every time I break it. How come he does istighfar and he breaks it? No, maybe you can explain, isn't it? No, the thing is, this Jum'ah, his knowledge increases and he does istighfar of his situation. And next Jum'ah, again, he sees that the last Jum'ah it was not actually befitting for him to feel about God like that. So this is not a sin. This is the situation of human beings improving and expanding in knowledge. And all the time they seek the khalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one explanation I can find for this. And I think we can support that in many different pieces of literature received from the Quran, from the A'imma alayhim salam. Imam Sadiq has mentioned, has reported this from the Prophet. Says, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So what you're saying then is that even for us, even though we are reaching a higher and higher level, we are still never going to be satisfied. That's part of the process.
The more you get, the nearer you get to Allah, the more you need to do istighfar. The nearer you get, the more you feel embarrassed of your situation and of what you have been doing. The farther you get away from Him, the more satisfied you become with yourself. The more complacent you will become. And that is why mu'minun are always in fear and kafirun are always complacent. Yes? If we don't do, no, if we don't do the sins which are mentioned as sin, disobedience, no, this is a very natural process. The prophets are not accountable, the imams are not accountable for those, because that is what they knew. And now that they come to a higher realization, when they think about it, they see it was not befitting, it was sin. It was something which really violated the relation of a servant and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, they are not accountable at all. And in fact, the more one becomes concerned about doing these istighfar, it is a sign that they are nearer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is actually saying the same thing. قَالَ صَدُوَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ كَانَ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةٍ مِنْ غَيْرَ ذَنْبٍ. The Prophet used to offer repentance 70 times a day while he had not committed any sin at all. Okay, we leave this inshallah for next week.
Very
bad time.
Very what,
sir? Bad person. Muawiyah and Muhammad. No, Muawiyah ibn Muhammad. No, Muawiyah ibn Muhammad actually is a very good person. It's Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan who is very bad.
No, this is Wahhabi and Muawiyah. Together.